Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guests are two people who literally just make me smile. Just looking at them now, they're grinning back at me, and I absolutely love that. Our paths have crossed over the years many, many times, and I feel like there are so many similarities between their family and ours, apart from we don't live on a farm. It sounds like it, but we don't. It is the amazing JB and Chloe Gill. Hi, guys.
Hey, G.
How are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm all right. I mean, you know, it's been a weird old year.
It's been mad. I still feel like we're going through it. It's not really real, is it?
I know. I keep saying to myself that, you know, back in lockdown, it's like, we're not out of that yet.
No, we're still in that.
How have you guys found this year with the kids?
It's been interesting, actually, because, as you say, you know, we've been sort of following you guys and seeing the similarities and stuff. And I think we were very similar to you in the sense that we were very, very cagey about going back to school. And when the kids were off school and stuff, we were very wary about how quickly Kiara hadn't started yet, so how quickly we introduced Ace. And I think he only went back for the last couple of weeks of the term, which we felt he needed at the time. And we obviously, things kind of changed at that time. But it was okay. Like, he worked well from home. And because it was really just him, and Kiara's only, well, she wasn't two yet, but she was two in the July, I think
it was okay. She thought it was
brilliant. Yeah, she loved it.
She was like, this is the best ever. Everyone's at home, everyone's having a great time, and no one leaves. Like, this is so cool.
Well, you must have had it as well, that Kiara and Max are literally like a month apart.
Yeah.
And I felt like at the start of this whole thing, I was like, oh my God. And like, by the end of the summer, he'll be up and down this climbing frame.
Yeah.
The next day, he was up and down that climbing frame.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like they have advanced so much during this time.
I know, it feels like it has been a year, but literally from one to two is mad anyway. Mm. And it's like, she's talking, she's a proper person. Like, we potty trained, we did it, we've done like literally everything. I'm Sergeant Major when it comes to potty training anyway. I'm just like, let's go, you're hitting, 16 months, you need to be in knickers or pants. Like,
no.
I'm literally like, what, you're behind Ace. I'm like, this is just outrageous. And they say girls are better than boys. So I was like, lockdown, you're in your knickers, honey, let's go. So she was great. But looking at the beginning, you know, in March and now, it's like, it's a different person. It's a massive, massive difference, especially in that one to two.
But she just mimicked Ace, because obviously Ace was having to do the home lessons and working on Zoom and all this sorts of stuff. And, you know, Ace is actually the focused one out of the two. So he was, you know, there was a little, especially when working with me anyway, there were a couple of teething problems. But with Chloe, he's really, really good, and he sits down and he focuses and he gets on with it. And having sort of the class lessons as well was really, really good for him, because he wanted to see his friends and be involved with that. And Kiara, literally, whenever she was awake anyway, she just wanted to do the same thing as him. So
she
had all
her
ABCs.
She was getting out. She was like, oh, school time. Then we have a bit of snack, and then we had lunch together, because we're trying to make, you know, obviously with the school day, you're trying to get the set work in as well. So we were kind of trying to do it with Kiara as well, just with her colours and stuff. But she thought it was super cool.
She had a great time.
She thinks it's great. She doesn't understand why Daddy has to go back to work now. She's like,
it's
where's
weird,
Dad gone?
Isn't it?
Yeah, she's like,
and
where,
I think,
where's
like, for me, I spent so much of when they were newborns being really conscious of not having a child who wouldn't go to other people and, you know, constantly going places and getting them familiar with different faces and stuff. And now all of a sudden, that's it. They've had much time with just you. So whatever work you put in, well, that's all gone.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I feel like it's actually made me realise that sometimes I maybe got worried about things I didn't need to, because what we've done with, like, Max is so confident and so secure
but he will still go with anyone, but for very different reasons to what Buzz would have in the first at the start.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I think one of our biggest concerns was Kiara starting school. By school, I mean nursery, but she was going to start where Ace is, and that obviously was in the September. So it's just gone, and she's gone into nursery, and she's done really, really well. But our concern was that because she hadn't had the exposure to the classes, being one of the youngest in the year group, things like that.
We were like, swimming. Like,
yeah, she's not done swimming. She's not done all the stuff
I did. I didn't do any of those things. I was doing heartbeats and all of that. And I feel like I'd set it all ready to go. And, you know, it just everything got cancelled, which is why, you know, the baby club's so brilliant, because we do that from home.
Shout
you know,
we are
big fans of the baby club, and we're singing and we're clapping because obviously that's at home. But I do feel like that time of, you know, her going to a class with mummy or daddy, you know, we didn't have. And she's now started her little nursery. And I was a bit worried of her, you know, how is she going to settle in? Because you do, don't you? And she was just like, this is crazy. We've been locked in for however long, and now you're putting me with people I have no idea of. I was just really emotional. But, you know, she's really settled in. And I think she has settled in a bit better than he did, really, when you look at it from both of them. But it has been a really, really strange time. But then there's been really good parts of it as well, that we've been able to spend so much time as a family together, and I'm really trying to bring the positives out of, you know, Jay and has been at home for loads of things, and we've made loads of memories, and we've done loads of things at home that you don't do when you're rushing around doing so many hundred things a day.
It's a weird one, I think, because I do work from home most of the time anyway.
Yeah.
It hasn't felt that strange not leaving the house. Like, I can remember when Tom used to go off on tour. I mean, it was pre-kids, but I put the chain across in the front door and then realised 5 days later when I was taking the bin out, this is my first outing. Like, that's, I'm really used
told
to that.
Told you we didn't win out of care, aren't we now?
But I think there is a thing with kids suddenly. So you're used to being out of the situation because you work from home, but suddenly the kids are there as well.
Yeah.
And it's very different. But you guys live on a farm. That feels like endless fun.
Honestly, you know, we have feel so blessed.
Yeah.
During this time, it's really made us, you know, reflect on everything that we have. And, you know, we have this amazing space, and we have animals, and, you know, we have space to just walk on our farm, and it's our space.
Well, we were very grateful for the space, because it meant that we could go out and have a change of scenery. And for someone like Ace, who, you know, hadn't seen his friends and hadn't been able to go to school and all of those sorts of things, those things that are normal to him and that he enjoys, because he's a very sociable boy, you know, very sociable person. Like, he thrives off having people, and just not even being able to see the grandparents or his cousins and things like that. It's a big deal for him. But being able to go out and have a change of scenery, and if
chatting,
you know,
to the animals, that's chatting it. To the
go and run, and, you know, whatever it is. And we went into the woods, and, you know, we did some stuff with the National Trust on Instagram, and, you know, we went for a little, you know, went hunting, you know, all that sort of stuff is just
it's, really
it's an
cool
afternoon of fun that you wouldn't have had unless you had to be at home. But of course, not everyone has access to that kind of space. So as I say, we really, really appreciated it.
So the life that you've given your kids, were your childhoods anything like it? Like, did either of you grow up on a farm? Was there lots of space?
It's really strange, because my dad's Irish and we go over to Ireland all the time, but my family have like a bed and breakfast, and that's all on a farm. So I have, as a child, was always on the go-karts with my cousins, running after it, like chasing cows and, you know, crazy stuff. So for
her
me,
cousins are crazy,
my
so
cousins are crazy, like crazy driving. So for me, it wasn't something that I've ever been like, oh, we need to live on a farm. It's just been part of my life. Every time we went to Ireland, we would stay with my cousins, and we were always on the farm as children. So I've just always, it's been part of me. So especially when we're little, going to get eggs and stuff. But you as well.
I mean, especially I call it the formative years. So pre-5, I lived pretty much in the Caribbean. So my mum and my dad, we were based in Barbuda, Antigua, and I was there till I was about 4, I think, before I started school, and then I went to primary school here in the UK. And I grew up with horses, and we had fruit, you know, in the back garden and stuff like that, and mango trees. And, you know, if you think of the West Indies, especially historic West Indies, and, you know, all the sugar cane plantations and all that sort of stuff, you know, it's very much I guess I throw back to that. And it's very much village life as well, which I think I really enjoy. Yeah. And of course, their life is a much slower pace. You know, everybody, you know, the people who make your bread, you know, the people who get the fish, you know, everybody. So it's very much a community lifestyle. And that's something that I've always enjoyed, you know, and I suppose that's kind of how we've come full circle.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Thinking about it like that, I didn't really realise that. Well, when you talk about it like that, I said both of us from a young age have always been, it's been part of our life.
Funny. So did you both have big families?
My family's massive.
Massive family. What's your mum?
Not my immediate family.
What is,
no,
this
what's, is me and my brother.
What's mum or your mum one of?
So my mum's one of 13.
And what's your dad one of?
And my dad's one of 9.
That's outrageous. You can't beat that.
Oh, my God.
So I've got, I haven't met half my cousins.
That's
still
outrageous.
So you're like, when we go to Italy, like when we were younger, we'd be chatting up different boys and, you know, just having a little flirt. And Dad would come over and go, oh, so you've met your cousin. We'd be like, what?
Exactly.
Everyone we talked to was a cousin. You're like, Dad, are you just winding us up now?
Literally. I mean, I've been, whenever I go back to the Caribbean, I always get, oh, yeah, so you're da-da-da-da-da and you're McChesney's child and you're all of this sorts of stuff. And I don't even know who these people are. No idea.
That's pretty amazing, though. And I do think there's something about those sorts of communities where there's a real sense of everyone looking after each other as well. Mm. Like with my nonna in the village in Italy, it's kind of one person grows the runner beans, one person grows the tomatoes, one person has the chickens and they pass around the eggs and stuff. And there's, I just find it absolutely amazing that everyone just looks after each other. And there is that just, there's that hub.
Yeah.
So it's not that surprising that you guys have place yourself on a farm, you know, where that, you know, it just, to me, it does feel like that sense of like just openness and community that comes with a farm.
No, it really does. And you know what? I think even transitioning into the farming community and Jay going from like the different industries, the industry is so welcoming. Mm-hmm. And we've been to like award ceremonies and we've been to, you know, we've met so many different people over the years and they're such a lovely community and they always want to help, like whatever we can do, or they'll come down and they'll do stuff, like just in every sense of farming, doesn't matter if it's food or even bees or, you know, like livestock, anything, like they're just so helpful. And I really do. It's such a nice community to be a part of.
Mm. How did you two meet?
On the X Factor.
Oh my gosh, early doors.
Oh,
Chloe.
Yeah, Hans, been there from the day, from the beginning, like you, girl. Yeah, we met on the show. So,
Were you dancing?
So I was dancing on the show. So I was one of the book dancers for that series that week. They were the contestants, but we've got similar friends. So, we met on the show and he fell in love with me straight away, obviously, Obviously. I'm joking. We have got different stories, but we won't go into that. there was some kind of connection there. We got on really well. We all got on really well that week and found out that one of my friends that I went to school with, one of my good friends, her brother was in Jay's year. So it was... Jay's checking and going, what's she really like? What's this one? I was like, excuse me.
I was checking. I just had to, you know, keep tabs on her, check up on her a little bit.
Whatever. Obviously, complete diva and don't go near her. Then he couldn't leave me alone, G. So.
And was this literally, so you were booked for 1 week?
So I did, I only did 1 week that year. 1 week. The rest of the years I was like on every show, but that week I did 1 week. You know, there was lots of dancers that were coming back regularly. There was like 6 blondes. I had short, really blonde hair that week. And we met on the show and it was just, it was crazy. Like we just had a mad connection and just, it was like a friendship connection. It was just, it was from that day. I don't think we ever stopped talking and we both didn't want a relationship. Both of us were just like, no, yeah.
Well, we were both at the start of our
just
careers.
Starting
I'd just turned, no, I hadn't even turned 22 yet. I was still 21. Chloe had just turned
This was like
19,
my first biggest job. Like I'd been doing like ballet for years and this is like X Factor for a commercial dancer. I'm working for Brian Friedman. Are you kidding me? I'm 19 years old. This is like no way I'm getting distracted and I'm very like, no, this is it. Not happening. But just, you know, we just kept coming back and doing different shows. Like they were performing at the Brits. I was dancing at the Brits and, you know, our paths just didn't, we just mirrored each other. And
we did.
It wasn't like we were trying to separate, but it was like we were both really focused and we're both really young. And it just, we just then just carried on being together for the whole way. It was crazy. Now I'm stuck with him, Jay. I can't get rid of the guy.
I mean, he has a nice smile, all right? That's what I will say. At what point, because I think there comes a time, especially which is quite difficult, I think, with everyone doing the job that they do in terms of us four, to kind of go, actually, I think we maybe should pin ourselves down a little bit and start a family. It does feel like a big step.
Mm.
At what point did you guys kind of go, we need to do this, this is the right time?
Well, I think for us, it was more when we got married. And I'm old school, so I'm like really, really old school. Like it,
I mean, it gets this is a bit serious and boring. Yeah. This is when he becomes very serious, but he is.
But for me, like you mentioned, you know, it was very much what Chloe's doing, what I'm doing, and we were on our own sort of trajectory. And I don't know, it's just the way that I've, I guess, been brought up, or just the way that I am. Like, for me, I always knew if I was getting married or if I was married, that's it. Like, that's just, there's, you know what I mean? It's like it's a piece of paper stuck together and it's never been separated. That's just
how long were you two together before you got married?
Six years, I think.
Yeah, see, I think we were about eight. So I do feel like it does get to that point where, what are we waiting
for? What's next? Yeah, it was 100%. Kind of... I was saying, you know, what's next? Are we, you know?
No, but you were.
I wasn't too much pressure. I was still young, though. I was about 25. Yeah. But I think, you know, we knew we were going to be together. Yeah. And then it was all like, I didn't really feel like I was putting pressure on you. But I just think it sort of just happened. And then you kind of took the rein on it and you were like, right, we're getting married. And I knew him. So I knew once we got married, it was kind of like, he is like, let's go. Not family kids, but he did say to me that he was never having children in JLS. He did, that
oh,
was
really?
Kind of, yeah, that was kind of his saying. He said he doesn't Why? Want to be around touring with them really, really little. And he said, you know, you've got to wait 10 years. So in my head, I was thinking, okay, well, you know, when we first met, I had 10 years before we had babies. That's kind of what he always said to me. So
yeah,
that all happened a bit sooner. And then, I don't know.
I was just ready. And I remember trying to work out how I could propose and how I could do all the stuff. And I heard all the amazing stuff that Tom did and, you know, all of these young, because not many people get married at our age, you know, not in this day and age anyway. So I'm like thinking, how am I going to do this? Am I going to go on stage? Am I going to do this? We had the last tour coming up.
Yeah, he was
and
thinking
I'd
about
already
the
ordered the ring, done, sorted all of that. And I'm just like, how am I going to do this? And I decided against doing it at the O2.
I would have died.
That was a good decision in the end.
But isn't it funny, though? Because I think any fan of a band, when you are thinking about your, you know, absolute hero that you fancy the pants off, like, proposing to you, not the people that we, I mean, like, fangirl kind of obsessed with, it is literally, it's that declaration of love that's kind of in front of every other fan and going, it's you.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you're kind of like, no.
Like, don't even do it in a restaurant. Like, I would just be, like, melting. It's just not me. As much as I'm like, yeah, diva, ha, 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 everyone's like, oh, she doesn't mind, she'll love it. Actually, no, that I would have been like, oh my goodness, I think I'm going to hide under the chair right now in the O2.
So I didn't do the O2. And, but yeah, I proposed to Chloe. And then pretty much, I think that was in January.
Mm.
And then we found out we were pregnant with Ace, I think, in just after we got married, which was in the May.
So how, talk to me about that moment. Well, that little surprise of finding out that
that was a surprise. He got a little bit nervous there.
Yeah, I did. Not because.
No, you were
of
just
the
like,
prospect
okay.
Of having children, but it was just very sudden, and I don't think I was expecting it to be as quick as that. Do you know what I mean? And so, and for me, I take things like that very, very seriously. So I was like, cool, well, now we need to get ready. Now we need to get prepared. We need to read all the books.
Oh, yeah,
we
he
need
read
to
everything.
Swat
he
up.
Read everything.
We need
everything.
To speak to everybody. You know, I'm very much like, I need to know everything. I want to know. And my mum is a nurse by trade, by profession as well. So, you know, for me, I was literally trying to find out all the ins and outs, all the bits and pieces.
Yeah. Were you constantly asking Chloe how she was during pregnancy?
No, he was probably just having a go at the midwives, knowing him. He was in there, like, because they ask you questions, don't they? They're like, so how are you feeling? And then I'm a bit like, oh, yeah, I'm cool. And then Jay's just like, well, why would you do-do-do-do-do? Yeah. And the poor midwife was just like, oh, he's a full-on one. But he was, like, wanting to know everything, weren't you, Jay?
Yeah, of course.
He's so into it all, which is amazing So much so that it makes me really lazy. So they're like, what are you allergic to? I'm like, don't know, ask him.
Ask him.
I'm like, just he'll tell you in there. He's like, penicillin, this. And then I'm like, what is it again, Jay?
Do you know what it was? I just felt like that was my role. And even obviously when if we touch on labour and all that sort of stuff, you know, I just felt like my job was to make sure whatever Chloe needed and whatever she felt was relayed and was communicated to the relevant people. That's it, you know. And Chloe's a very self-sufficient person. So she's not one of those women, I guess, who feel like the need to be actively supported. Like, she'll do a lot by herself. Yeah. But when she does need to... Like, do you know what I mean? I just took it upon myself to support her in the way that she needed to. So I would be on her saying, what do you need? What do you want to do? You know, with the birth plan as an example, you know, okay, how do you want to play it? And then it's a case of...
So what was your birth plan?
Well, I had an amazing pregnancy. I actually love being pregnant. My birth plan was just going to be no drugs in my head. This is what I was like, no drugs. I want to feel the pain. And I'm quite strange like that. I think being a dancer, I like to feel the pain. It's really strange.
Yeah, but I
understand my body so well. I wanted to actually feel what was going on. So in my head, I was like, once I start having contractions, I want to understand when they're telling me to push, what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't like not being in control. Like, I don't really like getting drunk because I don't like not being in control. I'm a bit, not a control freak, but I like to feel what they're saying to me. Yeah. So in my head, I was natural birth, thought I'd get in the water at some point. I love water. Didn't necessarily think I'd have a water birth, but wanted to get into the water. That's just what in my head. So that's kind of what we didn't really think of anything else, didn't look at anything else.
And we were actually underprepared.
I think was a bad point because I think...
Do you think?
Yeah. I do think you should look at every scenario because you don't know what can happen.
And no one encourages us to do that, really, which is one thing that we always tell...
All our friends. We say, look at everything, you know.
But actually what we needed someone to say was, be prepared for the plan to go out the window.
Yeah.
Because I think it's good to have a plan.
Okay. That's okay.
Absolutely fine. There's,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I would say from that experience. And, you know, for me, you know, that's... So when, you know, people are coming into the room and saying, oh, well, we're concerned about this and the heart rate is slowing down and da-da-da-da, all these sorts of questions, I was like, yeah, but you know what she wants to do. So don't ask us if there's an option. You know what the option is.
Yeah.
There is no option. Do you know what I mean? But if the choice is taken out of our hands, which inevitably it was taken out of our hands, that's fine. But do you know what I mean? I think because we weren't prepared for that eventuality, it was quite... It became very stressful quite quickly.
Mm.
And as I say, like, I'm usually a very calm person and I like to think through processes. I don't get overly worried about stuff. I'm very much a, well, it is what it is, let's deal with it as we face it kind of person. And I do think we did that. I think we did well considering, but there was definitely a few moments where I was just, a bit out of the room. And it was...
That's not like him either. That's not like him. So then I was like, he's meant to be the calm one here and he's meant to have all the answers. So now it's not great.
So talk us through it. What happened at the early stages of labour? How did you know it was all happening?
So I'm 11 days over. Here we go. Yeah. He's got me on walks. I'm doing it all. I'm literally doing it all. Like, the head is there. Like, I can feel like you're there. But he's just not... You know, my waters haven't gone or anything. And they said I was going to have to go in for an induction that morning. And I ended up going into labour early hours. So my contractions started. I spent the whole day at home just with contractions to a point where they were like a minute and a half apart. And then I went into hospital. Wasn't dilating. I think I got to like 2 centimetres. And then I was just there all day. And I was just having full-on contractions, but no dilating. They ended up, I remember them breaking my waters and saying, you know, let's get things moving now. It's been too long. And his heart rate kept, you know, dipping. Every time I was contracting, his heart rate was dipping. So there was obviously something going on. So I remember them saying, listen, we're going to break your waters. So I was like, cool. And me just went gas in there because I'm just like, no, I'm not, I miss it. I'm not having anything. Do you want anything? No, I'm fine. I want to feel what's going on. I'm tired now, though. It's been like a couple of days, I think, of...
Yeah,
it's going on. I think it ended up being like 40 hours and I was just, I'm tired. So they broke my waters and I had gas in there for that. And then I remember, who might be able to tell you better, but I remember that when they broke my waters, there was a bleed of some sort and they weren't sure what that was. which we know now, Ace was wrapped round two or three times, and I think there was a rip of something.
The placenta tore.
So because there was a bleed, it was then, you know, boom, everybody's in the room. Can you sign this? And I was like, I'm not signing anything. He then was now, you know, not 100%, and I'm thinking, oh, here we go. He's meant to be the one that knows all the answers in my eyes. And then we've got everybody in the room, and then we're getting rushed to theatre, and then the heart rate's dipping. And I remember saying, please don't lose my baby. Like, that's all I was worrying about, was just don't let the baby. They said, it's not the baby, the baby's okay. We're worrying about you. Oh, and then when they said they're worrying about me, then he's now really worried. So we're at theatre, and I'm on the table, and I don't like hospitals anyway, G. This is why I think I go a bit quiet, you know, in terms of once we get to hospital, then he kind of takes over. It's not really my remit. Don't like injections, don't like any of it. And I remember them trying to get, you know, my spinal tap in, and it was all a bit crazy, wasn't it, at that point? Yeah. And I think you went very quiet, and I just didn't like that. And I thought, here we go. Like, he's not being the normal, he's very calm. He gets angry twice a year, literally, honestly. And, you know, and then everyone's doing, it's all a bit crazy. And then anyway, Ace comes out and you hear him cry and everything's fine. And I was fine. Didn't have to have any, you know, blood transfusion or anything. I think that there was just, when the cord came down, it must have ripped, and that's what ended up being a bit of a bleed. And I remember Ace coming out and then did you cut the cord?
Not with Ace, I don't think.
No, so then he was coming over and they said, oh, do you want to see him? They said. And I went, I don't want to see anything, because I would probably faint, because I'm thinking my stomach's open. Honestly, I don't want to see anything. He's gone, she's having that baby now, skin to skin, skin to skin. Because he's thinking now I'm rejecting the baby, because he's now thinking she's gone through this trauma. And he's like, no, no, no. He's literally getting the baby and he's putting him on me. And I'm like, I'm fine.
No, he didn't go on you in the end.
But panicking, weren't you?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I read too many books, G.
Yeah.
He was literally...
Honestly, Tom read books about the bond and that screwed us over.
Yeah.
Because he's freaking, he's going,
she's rejecting it. She doesn't want to hold it. And I was thinking they were asking me if I wanted to see it. And if I saw anything, I would have just been no.
Well, that's the thing. Do you think because it had all gone so off-piste that you were kind of like, no.
Yeah.
Let's get back on, like, yeah, get probably. Back with the programme.
You did, you...
I think subliminally, yeah. You know, in hindsight, now I'm thinking about it, I feel like those special moments that you almost fairy tale, you know, with your birth, especially the firstborn and so on and so forth, we didn't really get to have, like cutting the cord, we didn't get to have. I was so concerned about Chloe's welfare that, to be honest, I disregarded. As soon as I heard him cry, I was just like, fine. But with the greatest respect, like, I don't know this person. This is a new person. Like, my person is Chloe, do you know what I mean? And of course, everything was fine. So that sounds a little bit harsh at the
now. No, but I think you were worried.
Yeah, the emotive state that I was in, because I was just like, I don't know if she's going to be okay. And, you know, I'm not here to lose my wife. And, you know, we've just had this baby. And as I say, everything was all right in the end. But for me, I was very much concerned.
I think you were in shock,
that.
You know. I actually think. I think when, like, your mum came after, it wasn't long after, and she said, I think you were in shock. I think it goes from very calm, and you're in a situation like that, and it turns into a bit of an emergency. It goes very frantically, and it goes very quick, and things can go wrong, you know. And luckily, we were okay. But I think you took on that worry, because obviously it was me. I think you just took on the worry of everything and was just like, well, is she okay? Baby's okay. Is now Chloe okay?
Yeah.
Did it take you a while to process the birth and everything that you experienced?
Oh, gee, I was out for a year.
Yeah.
Really?
I would say I breastfed for a year, and I would say the first 6 months, you say I came through a bit better, but you a bit quicker, but I wasn't myself. I really struggled mentally with what had happened, and I think I just, because I hadn't prepared, and if I had prepared, I wouldn't say that I ever got depressed, but I had to really talk to myself.
And also, I think there's that thing of when you are a strong person, you don't want to admit that this thing that is meant to be the most beautiful thing ever has broken you.
Yeah.
When you look back as well, we've said it to each other a lot, like, how did we find it so hard? Like, how? But then you realise that your whole life flips upside down.
Yeah.
Especially
and
with
you
the
first. Are totally, you're no longer in control of what is happening with your life. Like this little thing has come in and totally stampeded over everything you thought was normal.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Such a massive shift in your relationship, as individuals, as people, the responsibility of having a newborn. It's just like, wow, I can't sleep properly anymore now because I can hear a little noise. And is that, are you breathing? Are you okay? What's going on? Oh, do you need feeding? Like, there's so much going on. And I just think from that, the minute that baby, you know, from being in hospital, that mini baby comes out, you just change. It's completely different. You're just a... You can prepare people and tell them, but you can't explain that feeling until that happens. It's crazy. It's a crazy feeling, but amazing feeling. What a blessing these children are.
Yeah.
Like miracles. It fascinates me.
Mm. At what point did that all lift and you kind of felt yourself starting to enjoy being a mum?
I think I was, you know, in and out. So,
yeah.
You know, when I left, you know, being in theatre and I'm breastfeeding... I'm literally like, wow, you're here. Like, you're actually here. I've been talking to you for 9 months and you've been kicking me and, like, waking me up and you're here. So that was going in and out and I was just... I think I was battling with myself rather than anything with... Like, it wasn't towards Ace. Like, I was holding him, I was staring at him, I was talking to him. Like, the connection and bond I had with Ace was there instantly. So I didn't ever feel anything towards him or not reject him or anything. I didn't feel that because I know some people feel that way as well and they don't really understand why. That wasn't ever there. It was more, I'm not able. What happened to me? Why didn't my body do that? And then that was all about myself. So the battle I was having and the upset was in my body and my feelings rather than... So with Ace, I'd just look at him and then I would just be completely in love. And I've always wanted to be a mum. It's just something I've always wanted to do. I was with my sister. We used to walk around with what are those things, you know, those blow up balloons or whatever. I'm pregnant. I was always pregnant when we played mum's dad. So ask me why. I'm literally on the bikes pregnant. Shan's just every day Chloe's pregnant. But I've always wanted to be a mum.
Which is what makes it hard, I think, when you do become a mum and it's not how you pictured and you're not as able and capable as you thought you would naturally be.
100%. So that I think that's what it was. It was the shock of, whoa, I can't do bath time? What do you mean I can't do bath time? I just wasn't able. And then I just gave into it, I think, and I just thought, you know what? That's Jay's role. Like, Chloe, let go. You can't do everything. Like, let yourself go and just let your body repair. And, you know, just be in the moment, enjoy this moment. And just then I think I just ended up kind of letting go of everything that I'd been through and thought, you know, I'm just lucky to be here. You know, it could have gone completely differently. And, you know, something could happen to one of us. You know, I'm okay and he's okay. He's healthy and he's gorgeous. And I just completely fell in love with him. So it wasn't, that was quite instant. And... Yeah, no, it's so crazy thinking about it. He's like six now.
Isn't
so
that mad?
Crazy. Yeah. He's so crazy.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So at what point did you two go, you know what, I think we're due another?
Well, we did this dance show.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Because I never worked for the boys, ever. It was this show came about and they were like, what do you think? And we thought, you know what, we've actually never worked together. This could be quite cool. of we had to go and live in Amsterdam, and Ace came with us. It was a mad time.
And also, though, what an amazing time to almost reconnect as a couple.
Yeah, no.
Because I do
amazing.
Think that kids come along and they kind of do stampede through that as well, and that your whole, you know, focus shifts. And it what an amazing opportunity to kind of just go, you and me, babe.
Oh, honestly, I was crying in rehearsals because dance has been my whole life. And obviously,
I'd be like, you looked at me for longer than 5 seconds.
No, don't. It wasn't. It was like, it was really, I was really emotional because I was gone back to doing something that I absolutely love. I love dancing. Yeah. And I was in rehearsal. I was just like, this is so cool. Like, we're doing this together. It's about us. Like you say, we're reconnecting. Like, it's something that we both love. We love performing. And we've been given this opportunity to get to together. So we kind of did that show. And I remember after that show, everyone was like, well, you know, you're two and a half, you're going to go again. And I was a bit like, oh no, do I want to do that again? And Jay is like, wants four. So he's just like, the clock is ticking, honeybee. And I think we just then got to a point when we were like, okay.
Didn't we? Yeah, well, I think it was
just around then.
Yeah, I mean, it was partially the fact that I think we'd come through that whole process. And I think about it now, that was the time where actually you were starting to work, like do more things that Chloe wanted to do rather than just mummy needed to do, if that makes sense.
Feeling like you again, that makes complete sense. It's Chloe rather than Ace's mum.
The mummy, And also I think that was actually probably the turning point, although we didn't necessarily realise it at the time, where we started to have more of a joint game plan. Obviously, the game plan was joint because we're married and whatever else. But I mean, as in terms of career-wise, you know, in hindsight now, when I'm thinking about it, that was definitely a shift. And, you know, we were on the fence about doing it, to be honest with you, because up until that point, I'd been doing everything sort of outside the house in that respect. Instagram wasn't as hot, or not for us anyway, at that time. So it wasn't very, you know, it wasn't influencer and all that sort of stuff connected to work. It was very much TV and all, you know, all the other stuff basically. And obviously Chloe couldn't do that at the time, so it was very much me doing that and kind of providing for the family in that respect, and Chloe providing for the family at home, kind of thing. But that, as I say, was both of us. We both had to be out of the house, we both had to be rehearsing, we had to get Chloe's mum to come out to Amsterdam and almost act as nanny to look after Ace, because we're obviously both very hands-on, but we're in rehearsals all day and all that sort of stuff. So just juggling that and managing that.
It definitely gave me my fire back. It definitely brought my fire back. It was
And, you know, as I've always encouraged you to do anyway, I think that was the time where you could actually say, I want to do this I want to aspire to this, and I want to have, you know, accomplish this ambition, which Chloe's always been like that.
I think I found myself again, though. I think it through that process, which I'm really glad we did, I kind of found a bit of Chloe again, and, you know, it back ignited me. And it was a great process for me, especially have with Ace being there, and then as for us as a couple. And then I think after that, I was like, okay, well, maybe we could do this again. Maybe we could have another baby now. I've kind of, you know.
Do you feel like just the general fact that you could find yourself again made you go, it's okay, I won't be that forever?
Yeah.
That's a period of
100.
Time.
100. I do remember at one point being like, okay, I'm coming back. That's what I felt like. And everyone always says to me, oh, how long? I said, it took me a year. I always say a year. And, you know, everyone's like, that's so long. And I'm like, yeah, it was a process for me. And it was a year. And then a year later, we ended up doing that show. And I think maybe it was a few things. And then I felt like, okay, Chloe's, you know, definitely been reignited again. And I feel, now I felt like myself again. I was like, okay, maybe we could, not that I was ever going to have any others. I always wanted to have more, but I needed to get back to a certain point to go, okay, we're good to go whenever now, kind of thing. Like, if we want to have another one, that's it. And I think we always said that we wanted to get Ace to school.
Yeah.
My sister and I are 4 years apart. And that in my head, I think it was a similar, so that's what we've done with our two. But
but there was also mental preparation. I remember you telling me that Chloe had to be in the right frame of mind to go through that again. And that definitely didn't happen for a long period of time before Chloe could, I guess, say to herself and to us that, yeah, okay, if we go again, I'm ready to go again.
Yeah, I had to be in a certain place for sure for me to mentally just be in control of whatever my feelings were. And I was like, I am not having a birth plan. No. I was so bad.
Well, were you scared? I think wanting to get pregnant is one thing, then realising you are pregnant, finding out, and then realising that the baby has to come out.
So wasn't like, scared through pregnancy, was like, yeah, let's go again, loved it, loved being pregnant, loving it, literally like, yeah, so great, love my bump. and then we're getting to, oh gosh, you know, this has got to come out. And then the doctors are like, what do you want to do? Because I've had a section before, I actually have an option. Nope, not making a plan. I was so bad, G, literally so bad. I was, you're going to have to make a decision. I am not making a decision. You didn't let me make a decision last time. And look what happened. Honestly, I was adamant. It was awful. They were like, well, we're
either... Do you think it's because you had a plan first time and it didn't go to plan, that this time you were like, I've got no plan.
You've ruined my plan. I said, you guys ruined my plan. I like a plan, so there's no plan, guys. Don't put one on the table, because if you put an option on the table and it goes wrong, no. I was like, I was so adamant. Jay was like,
they used to look at me and basically
they go, well,
say,
what did she? He was like, well, whatever she wants to do. And they said to me, you know, all I knew was I wasn't having an emergency again. I wasn't going through that experience. So I said to them, listen, so we came to a compromise. We said, we'll go over my due date. If I go natural, perfect. If we don't, we're not going to go so far that they have to, you know, I don't think they can induce you. They could do other things. And I said, we're not doing that business. So I said, listen, we'll set a date. If I go natural, perfect. If we get to that date, I'm going in for a planned. And then all the way, they were like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I was just like, well, that's our plan. You know, that is our situation. We'll let my body is going to make that decision, because I'm not going to put any pressure on anybody. And I ended up getting to the planned section. And that experience is so completely different.
Really?
It's the opposite.
It's so calm. And I went in at 9 o'clock in the morning. I've got baby in my arms at 11 o'clock in the morning. Everything was calm. We didn't know what we were having. Full night's sleep. You know, Ace came up to me at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, saw baby straight away. You know, my recovery was completely different. You know, I was up and walking and left the hospital the next day. It was just a completely different and surreal feeling. Even though the recovery is still, obviously, it's not straightforward, but it wasn't anything compared to the experience I'd had with Ace. But then still in the back of my mind, I didn't have that natural birth, because that's just something I've always wanted to do. So I'm like, should I? Because then in my head I go, should I have just let myself go and then see if it could go natural? But then there was the option of maybe it then going into an emergency, and I was adamant that wasn't happening again. So I just thought, you know what? That's what happened with the decision we made. I let my body go to a certain point, and then, you know, ended up having a plan. But
Chloe, what would you say to a friend? What would you say to a friend who was, you know, doubting herself in that way?
I would just say you did the best thing. Whatever happened was the best thing. I would
say...
Do you
think maybe you should listen to yourself?
It's just so difficult, isn't it? Because yourself, isn't it? So in my head, I'm like, oh, well, you could have got maybe... Because when they brought her out, they said, oh, she was in a good position to come out naturally. So then I'm thinking, should I have gone
naturally? Well, you're a bit like... Why did you tell me that?
Yeah, I did. No, I think she did it on purpose. I think she went...
Really?
Oh, in the natural position, in a great position, because obviously they don't necessarily like doing planned. And I feel like, oh, I feel a bit defeated because I always wanted to do...
I mean, that's also
natural.
A bit of a judgy comment, to be honest.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone is judgy, and I'm used to that. And the industry is very judgy, so I'm used to it. Those comments just... But I was like, oh, for myself, I would love to have been able to go natural, just for myself, to be like, yes, I did it. But yeah. I've got healthy babies. I'm healthy. And, you know, I live with the fact that, you know, I was in that mind frame of I am not having a plan. And this is kind of the compromise. And we'll get to that date. And we got to that date. And I live by that. But now, if I ever went again, which I don't know if I can go for it, Jay, honestly, I don't think I can do it.
Is it the recovery?
It's the recovery.
But people forget that it is a major surgery. Like, it's not a joke. And obviously, because I've got family here in medical profession and stuff like that, I appreciate the gravity of it. And so for me, that's why I've always assumed and felt like I needed to assume the role that I have with Chloe and stuff like that, because it's not something to take lightly. Mm. But at the same time, like, you have to give it space. Like, you have to recover properly. And there's so many people who do themselves damage because they're just like trying to run before they can even walk. Yeah. I mean, this is like, you've gone through a major surgery. Like, I remember I had to go under general anesthetic for my ear, right? And this is just something that had a recurrence here, blah, 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 whatever. Not a big deal. And I think
Chloe's
I was under
looking at you like, are you talking about your ear right now?
Do you know what I mean? Literally, I was under for probably about an hour, if that. And I felt like I needed at least 2 weeks. How long did it take me to recover, like, properly? 2 weeks. And if you think, you know what I mean? And then you put that into the perspective of the surgery, you know, basically the surgery that any woman would go through in that situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like they're expected to be back in back 2 days, up running the house, all this sorts of stuff. We're just like, are you kidding? Mm-hmm. And it's purely because, as I say, you don't go under. It's just not seen as like a major thing. It's just seen as a routine. You go in, you do it, cut the baby out, and then you go.
Yeah, it's not given the respect that it actually deserves. Mm. and the care. And I think so quickly after a baby's born, everything is about the baby, and
it is.
No one checks in really on the mum's recovery and makes sure that she's taking her time. And I think so many mums want straight away to be up on their feet and doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I do think, like, people who have emergency C-sections, who thought they were going to have a natural birth, there is that feeling of disappointment, that guilt, that judgment that is, I think, in motherhood, we carry so much judgment on ourselves. That biggest voice of judgment is us and everything that we've heard beforehand and everything that we thought we were going to be when we became a mum. And that is what weighs heavily.
Yeah.
So I think it's that that kind of wants us to get up and do things much earlier than we should.
It's like, why can't I? What do you mean? What's going on? Why is my body not letting me do that? Come on, get a grip, Chloe. Like, come on, like.
But that's where I feel my role comes in, because I will tell Chloe to sit down and not do it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's like, you're not doing it. And I was like, well.
I'd be like, babe, the dishes can wait. It's not a problem.
What was it like when Ace met Kiara?
Oh, brilliant. That was amazing.
It was.
I think because it was ended up being planned, and we know in a way that was very good for him. Like, looking back now, because obviously I could say, look, mummy's going to, like, prepared him, mummy's going in today, mummy's having the baby, baby's coming out today, you know. And he was like ready, he's got his backpack on, he couldn't wait. And then when we didn't know it was a little girl, and then obviously then daddy said, oh, I've had a little girl, and we'd obviously planned for him to come to the hospital, and you were going to get him from the elevator and then bring him in. And I didn't want to be holding Kiara, I wanted the baby to be in her little bassinet next to me, because I wanted him to feel like, I didn't want him to walk into the three of us. I also didn't want him to walk into mummy holding baby. I wanted him to go straight or to whoever he wanted, because I wanted him to have the choice. And he's older, so I wanted him to make sure that he made that choice. So he came in and he was so emotional, wasn't he? Yeah. He was like, she's real. She's here, she's mine. And then there's just pictures of him sitting, like, staring at her. And then he was like, mummy, can I cuddle you? Because he wasn't sure. So then he was cuddling me, and then he was just, and then he said, can I hold her? And then he's holding her, and he was just like, she's perfect. Like, he's just, he's such a lovely little boy. He's such, got a lovely heart. Yeah. And he was just completely in love with her. And he was absolutely, he wanted to push her in the pram. He wanted to bring her home. And then, well, we all obviously came home together, and I got him a present from her. And so he opened that and he was like, gosh, she's so cool, isn't she? Gosh, she knows what I like. Like, he's so, so lovely. Like, but now he's just like, mum, send her, right? Send her back, mum. He said it to me, he went, mum, what do I have to have a sister for? She's so annoying, mum. Yeah, so I'm just like,
she is that sister though.
She is. She's like digging him, or she's poking him. She's like, Ace, can I have a kiss? And then she'll kiss him 1 minute, next minute she'll push him. He's just like, mum, what's this? Why did we have to have her? Can we send her back to the hospital? So I go from, oh my gosh, he's like so in love, loves her. Now he's like, oh, mum, send her back. But They're proper brother and sister.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I think, so going from one to two, I think one of the major things that I was really worried about was the dynamic.
Yeah.
Because it was all about Buzz. Buzz had our full attention and how we would feel, how he would feel, you know, having a sibling and how that would change everything within the family forever.
Mm.
But actually, like you just said, the dynamic is constantly changing.
Yeah. Mm. Constantly changing. I was really emotional when I was about to have Kiara. I was like, I don't think we can do this. I don't think, you know, I don't want to love anyone. I'm not going to be able to love anyone more than Ace. Like, I just, how can I share my love? How can I? And then you do, this baby comes and then you're just like, the love just, you know, doubles. It's not about sharing. It's just more love. And then, yeah, as you say, as they grow and they're changing all the time, the dynamics, like we're at a stage where, you know, they're getting on each other's nerves. And then in the morning, like they can't live without each other. And then Ace goes to school and she's like, why can't I go with him? Like, it's just constant, isn't it? Because they're changing all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. How do you think having kids has affected your relationship?
Oh, that's a really good question. I really do feel like it's deepened our relationship, like on so many levels. And I feel, even though they are there all the time, aren't they? They're there.
They are all
like,
the time.
Like, you know, you wake up and someone's on your head or, you know, you're going to sleep and somebody, but I might need a wee now, you know. I feel like it's midnight and I need a wee. Like, you need to put me on the potty. I'm just, you know, they're always there. They're just there constantly. Like, they're hanging off a leg and you're just like, oh. We've really had to, because I believe in communication is key. Like, I think, you know, no matter how bad things are, how good things are, you have to communicate as a couple. You have to. And I think it's really made us, you know, really dig deep in ourselves to work out what we want to be, what kind of people we want to be for our children, how we want to act as a couple, how we want to, you know, portray ourselves to our children. And I really think we've had to look deep in ourselves and then communicate to each other. And I think it deepened our relationship that way. And I think not having the children, we would have done that, but I think we probably wouldn't have, I don't know, I feel like it's just, I think the kids have really brought that out in us where we've had to really dig deep between us. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that for me, my appreciation of Chloe has gone up, which sounds weird because obviously I've always appreciated her, but I feel like, and especially as an example, like this today, I was with the kids by myself.
What did you say to me today? You're like, never leaving me.
She's never leaving me.
I went, what?
Nah.
I went, what do you mean? That's what you said to me. You went, no, you have no choice. You're never leaving. And I went, actually, you haven't explained why. So do you want to tell us all why? Why I can never leave you? I'm stuck to you for life.
I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it by myself.
Why?
Because
what happened today?
Nothing happened. They were really, really good. I just, as I say, my appreciation for Chloe, even today, has deepened because I'm just like, she does this all the time. She's always with both of them all the time, running up to football, to this, to that, to school, to whatever. And don't get me wrong, I will do it on occasion, but 9 times out of 10, we're together as a family, especially if I'm doing it. You know, running to school and back is one thing, but do you know what I mean? Like having a full day and doing all the activities and being out of the house, or, you know, whatever, with the kids by yourself is a completely different
thing. So you're on the sidelines today with Kiara asking, I'm telling you, I haven't even asked him, but Kiara asking to go to the toilet. Yeah. She's asking for snacks. Then Ace is coming over for something else. So today you felt like you were juggling all those balls today.
Yeah,
and then he went to me today. He went, and you were hotting me up. I was like, no, darling, I was just asking for your number, for a number of someone. I wasn't even on your case because I knew what you were dealing with. So imagine how I feel with everything else I'm trying to juggle.
No, I know. I know how you feel. And that's what I'm saying. My appreciation just deepens. And I've always respected Chloe, of course, but like my level of respect and appreciation and understanding.
I think I need to send them out with the kids more often, don't you?
I know.
It just deepens because you recognise I recognise what you do.
Well, I think we'll be doing, we're going to be doing more of this one, G. I think that's a little tick list there. I think you need to appreciate me more. Take both the kids out.
I appreciate you all the time. But yeah.
If you could both write a letter separately, if you could write letters on parenthood, so on being a dad and on being a mum, Who would you write a letter to and what would it say?
Oh.
I'd probably write letters to my children.
I was going to say, to Ace.
And I would probably just say, do you know what, enjoy, try and enjoy everything, you know, take time. Life is fast paced, like it's fast. And I'd say, you know, take lots of pictures and write, try and write stuff. Even if you wrote letters, you know, even if you wrote to yourself saying, because I used to write a diary a lot. I used to just write stuff or this is how I felt. And I'd go back and I'd be like, wow, it's amazing to read those things. Or, you know, I know that, you know, I wanted to be I really want to be a mum when I'm older. I used to write in a diary. And I just think it's important to, you know, keep track of those things and then just give advice and say, you know, it's not easy. Not all the time is going to be easy, but just to try and enjoy every moment that you can, because life literally is so crazy. Even in this time of lockdown that we're going through, it still feels very quick. Like, take time, make memories, as many as possible, because tomorrow's never, you know, never promised.
Yeah, I think the same. The first thing I thought was to write to the children, and especially for Ace. I think for me, as a father, especially in the Black community, you know, the role of the father, not always. I think it's changing. But historically, it's been underrepresented. And I already see it in Ace anyway, but just to encourage him to be the father figure that I believe he was born and created to be, you know, and just to take that responsibility with both hands. And, as Chloe said, to appreciate every single moment that it brings, good and bad. Mm. You know, there are obviously difficult moments, but I think all of the moments, good, bad, in between,
because you learn,
yeah, is what shapes you, you know, what gives you the experience, what helps you to learn, as you say. And I've definitely had that, well, with both children, learning more than I ever imagined that I'd learn, actually. And just being able to pass some of that wisdom on, I think, and just to, it, more as an encouragement than anything else. I don't think it's quite right to say, well, do what we did or anything like that, but more just to say, you can, you know, there isn't a little trial and error. You know, you can just work stuff out. It is a journey that you and your other half will have, you know, all that sort of stuff. And just to give that encouragement.
And hope, that, you know, even when the things are hard and tough, that, you know, you do pull through it. And then you come through the other end. There is light at the end of the tunnel. There is, whatever way that is.
There's a reason and a season for everything.
Oh, here he goes.
Oh, I like that. A reason and a season.
Here he goes.
Thanks. guys, I would like you, we finish every episode with you finishing these three sentences.
Okay.
So, for Chloe, it would be being a mum. For JB, it's being a dad. Being a mum means?
Being a mum means everything to me. Just everything I ever wanted to be, and I love the role, and I also love to try and help other mothers in any way I can, you know, even if it's just listening to people cry, you know, or
always helpful.
Just to say it's okay.
It is always,
it's okay, but it literally means everything to me. As a bit cheesy, but it does.
JV, being a dad means?
Being a dad means putting my family before myself. That's something that I have tried to adopt ever since knowing that we were going to have our first. And it's something that I just continue to remind myself every day. You know, I've always felt like they're my responsibility. And, you know, without any of them, including Chloe, it just doesn't work. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, just remembering to be there for them, to put them first, is what being a dad for me is all about.
Since having children,
I have learned more than I've ever learned in my life. honestly, it's been the steepest, most exciting learning curve I've ever had. And
I just feel like you wake up in the morning and you literally have no idea what you're going to get.
No.
None.
No idea.
Honestly. And for me, it's worse. Like, I go away and then I come, I'm literally overnight and I come back. It slowed down a little bit with Ace, but even with Ace, like, after a few days, I get it. You know, and he's, like, speaking in a certain way because he's been at school all week and he's just like, yeah, daddy, da-da-da-da-da. And I'm literally just like, where has this come from?
Yeah.
And Kiara's in that phase, you know, you got the same with Max probably, where she's just learning stuff every single day. And she'll, like, sit and listen to whatever on telly or, you know, we'll play a game or we'll, you know, pick something up from Ace at school or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, you know, that's right, daddy. And then it's like, what? You know what I mean? And she's just coming out with all these words and all these things. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, I just, as I say, for me, it's just been an incredible learning curve.
Chloe, since having children, I?
Learned a lot about myself. In so many different ways. Like, I feel like I've learnt different layers of Chloe. Good layers, bad layers, just different. And as well of Jay, like, I feel like Jay's a completely different person. And I think us as individuals, I really feel like I think you said learnt, didn't you?
Mm.
Yeah, I've really learnt, but really about us.
Yeah.
And what we're like and how we respond to things. And we really try and not argue in front of the children. Like, we really try and he's really doing my head in, I just look at him and I'm just like, yeah, I'll get you later. But just because I just how we cope with different things and our patience and, I've learned a lot about myself and I've learned a lot about Jay as an individual. Like, it's really changed us as people.
Mm.
And I'm happy when?
I'm happy when we're all sitting on the sofa. We've all got, you know, popcorn and we're watching a film that everyone wants to watch because that's a thing right now. Like, it's a thing.
After
it's
the
like,
hour
oh,
debate.
Oh, I don't want to watch that. I want to, like, where everybody's cool. Everyone's chill. We're all snuggled. And then you just, we're in between us. I look at Jay and I'm just like, this is nice, you know.
Yeah.
We're all here at home. Under a blanket, eating popcorn. Like, this is pretty cool.
Oh, well, guys, thank you so much for giving us some of your time, your evening time.
Thanks for having us.
It's been so lovely to chat.
It's always been a pleasure, as always.
Ah, you too. Thank you so much. I'll speak to you soon.
You Absolutely. Will do.